Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
So, we don't have a bulletin for you because we got power on this campus about, I don't remember when it was. Are you on the same time? What day was it? You know, did that happen this day or this day? What, you know, so early in the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere in there. But we just got power on the South Campus on Friday. So for whatever. So we didn't have access to all of our stuff. So I'm sure you'll survive without it. But we have you some notes. So I thought I'd talk this morning just between us about what I was reminded of by Irma. Now, what I started with was what Irma taught me, but then I realized I already know all of this. And I'm like you, I know it, but you know, sometimes when you go through stuff, you just need to be reminded. You know, the problem isn't that we don't know, we either forget or we either don't turn to it as we need to, and we just need to be reminded once again, hey, here it is. Here's what you need to know. And the Bible kind of tells us that. You know, that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 26, when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. He'll remind you. You know, I need reminding sometimes. 2 Peter 1:12, Peter writes, he says, this is people he's writing to, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth that you've been taught. And it's only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. Now, for me, that gives me a little hope to know that, okay, as long as I live, all I got to keep doing is just reminding you. That's it. So what have I been reminded of during the past week? Well, number one, I have control issues. Okay, and so do you, or just so, right? We all do, don't we? You and I do not handle life well when we're not in control. Isn't that brought out through everything we've been through? When things aren't going, why isn't this, what's this? I want to be control. I want to have this, and I want to have what? I have control issues. Now, I want to talk about it in a few areas. First of all, God controls the future. Here's the deal. No matter what goes on in life, God is always in control. Well, Pastor, if he's in control, why didn't he stop this? Why didn't this go away? Why did that have to happen? Because you and I live in a world that has been damaged by sin. And Satan is having a heyday, trying everything he can do to disrupt God's plan. And sometimes, you know what, just like when he crucified Jesus on the cross, he thought he won. And sometimes he thinks he's getting ahead of things. And sometimes if we're not careful, you and I think he's getting ahead of things. But God is still in control. That no matter what goes on around us, you know, Psalm 33 verse 8, let the whole world fear the Lord and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations, thwarts all their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. And it's hard for me sometimes to remind myself, God's in control and I'm not. And I have to always just keep telling me, God's got this taken care of. God knows what he's doing. I don't understand it. I wish he would let me in on it a little bit more. But I just know he's in control. Daniel 2:19. That night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And then Daniel praised the God of heaven. He said, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. God controls the future. Now, just so we understand, because I've already heard a little bit this morning and I've heard it before, There's another one forming out in the ocean somewhere, coming off Africa. What's going to happen to that? I don't know. God's in control. Now, well, Pastor, why is all this happening? You know, earthquakes going on in Mexico and riots in the streets in North Korea. What's going to happen there and everything? Well, what's going on? It's pretty easy to get shaken when you look at everything that's happening in our world, isn't it? And yet, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, you should know this, Timothy. In the last days, there will be very difficult times. I didn't write it all out for you, but I think most of you know this. You know, in the last days, we're told rumors of war go everywhere. Earthquakes, famines increase. All of this happens. Now, we live in a world, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. It's already starting to happen. All of this is going to get blamed on global warming. Okay? It's all going to be the world because we people, they got to have control. God's in control, and he tells us very clearly in Scripture. You know what? As things begin to wrap down, difficult times come. People bail on God. The chaos increases. That's all a part of what happens at the end. And so when you look at that, you and I really have to remind ourselves, hold it. I don't need to get shaken by all of this stuff going on. God's got it in control. And I know he's doing things according to his plan. No one, nothing can stop his plan. I don't always know his plan, but I know him. And he's got it taken care of. And I don't have to get upset. I don't have to, you know, deal with all the things that everybody else tries to explain it away with. I just know God's going to deal with things. And this isn't the last of it. Sorry. But God's going to be faithful. And God is in control. And I just have to remind myself of that over and over again. Because if I don't, nextly, I've got to control my fears. God's in control of all that other stuff. I just got to control me. And what's one of the big things you and I have to control is our fears. Now, if you listen to the media and you read the paper, fear sells. And so what do you hear most of the time? Catastrophic. It's all going to happen. Fear is propagated, isn't it? Because it sells. And yet one of the most repeated commands in all of the Bible to you and I is, don't be afraid. Just don't be afraid. Now, I don't know what you did with this storm. I was out at an Asia Pacific board meeting, and we were in a place out west in the Spokane area, and the fire was so bad up in there. During the day, you could look at the sun. It was just pink because of all the haze and everything from all the forest fires there. And so I flew home early. Now, strange thing, the plane from Atlanta to Fort Myers, it wasn't too crowded. Imagine that. I had plenty of room. Usually that flight's as crowded as can be. So I'm coming in, everybody else is going out. And, you know, here's the deal. I hope you didn't leave because you were afraid. I hope you left because it seemed like the reasonable thing for you to do. Because you felt like it was the right thing to do. I stayed because I just felt like that was the right thing to do. Bottom line is, I knew once the storm, getting back home was going to be a mess. I wanted to stay and not have to deal with that. That was part of my decision. But we don't make decisions out of fear. Oh, what if this happened? We're not afraid. Well, we're not afraid. Why? God's with us. He's in control of it. I don't have to do things because, you know, Jesus, how often did he have to address his disciples that, why do you have so little faith? Why are you so afraid of this? And if you're not careful, all the stuff that goes on and all the stuff that you hear and everything going on around about it, you begin to pick up on that and it begins to eat at you, and you forget that God is in control, and if he's in control, I need to control my fears. I need to be wise. I need to make good decisions. But anytime you make decisions out of fear, you're probably not going to make a real healthy decision. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? Psalm 91:5, do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the diseases that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. That's pretty relevant. Don't be afraid. I have to control my fears. Along with that, I need to control my frustrations. It's easy to get frustrated with all of this going on. Why isn't this happening? What are you going to do here? How are we going to do this? How's this going to go on? But there's a progression when you get frustrated. There's a progression that you and I go through that I'm going to walk you through this morning that you need to kind of keep in the back of your mind, because if you see yourself going through it, you need to stop. All right? The first thing is, why do you get frustrated? Because you're inconvenienced. What's the worst thing about this storm? You're inconvenienced. I can't go to the store like I want to. I went into Walmart. There was nothing there. That was pretty incredible. I waited in gas lines. I was inconvenienced. My neighbor had a generator let me use it, and I plugged it up to my refrigerator and freezer. It was a pain going out and starting that thing every morning, and then having to turn it off and monitor the gas and going back and forth. I was inconvenienced. And I didn't have air conditioning. I was inconvenienced. And so were you, right? That's what happened. And when you and I get inconvenienced, the next step is we get impatient. I don't like this. I'm going to do something about it. Why is this happening to me? And you lose all your patience. Now, I know you all have kept your patience. I understand you're that type of people. You're the perfect ones. But you know somebody who, because, you know, we had a neighbor. Hey, why haven't they fixed our power? It's the day after the storm. Every day. Why aren't they here yet? They should be here by now. And Charlie, they were here right away. You know, yeah. Impatient. Just, you know. Let me just tell you something. Storms, problems in life, do not teach you patience. Okay? They reveal patience. Many people who are facing the storm or that, we want to confess it away. We want to rebuke it. But many storms could be handled a lot better if we just remember what we've been taught. And we get impatient. Why? I didn't get to have my hot coffee today. Starbucks was closed. Why aren't they open yet? Right? We get impatient. Then we get irritated. We get angry. Oh, I don't ever get angry. Okay. We get a little upset. We just get the tension level begins to rise in us. It just begins to pick up. And it just goes, this isn't working out like I think it should. This isn't right. I want this. I need this. I got to have this. I need to have it now. Why isn't this going on? Why is it there? And then we begin to find ourselves irritated. We snap at people. Tensions get a little out of order. And we just get irritated with what's going on. And we get angry. We can get upset very easily now, can't we? And then we become irrational. Because we're going to fix it. We're going to do something. We're going to make a mess. Yeah, don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. Any of you have a mess in your house and you tried to fix it and you made a bigger mess? Yeah. You know, people out trying to clear trees and suddenly they're going to the hospital because they cut themselves. You know, I got to get, you know. we just begin to be irrational. We do things that we wouldn't normally do. We act in ways we wouldn't normally act. And we just kind of go off because why? I've been inconvenienced. I've got to get this fixed. I just know this isn't right. What's going on? And then, bottom line, you become impossible to live with. Nobody wants to be around you. And you see, I have to control that. Here's the deal. I want to control the storm. I don't want to control me. I want to control you. I don't want to control me. I want to fix this. I don't fix me. And I'm reminded, God's in control. I just need to control my fears and my frustrations. Because God's got it all taken care of. And if I'll deal with that, my life will be a lot better off. Agreed? So that's one thing I was reminded of. You know, I've got control issues. We all do. And when life gets a little bit out of our control, when we can't fix it, when it doesn't go the way we think it should, we all tend to deal with it in unhealthy ways. And we just need to back up a little bit and remind ourselves, hold it, God's got this. He's going to take care of me. I just need to work on my fear issue and not let it get to me. And I just need to deal with the frustrations that come with this and not let them handle me. Because they want to control my life. And if they do, I become impossible to live with. Now, I know none of you are there yet. But some of you aren't far away. Never mind. Secondly, I was reminded that I need to be careful with what I believe. You know, it's a great thing, the internet and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. It's a great thing that we have some news media that do tell us stuff that are healthy for us and give us good information. But it's amazing to me how much wrong information is out there. That somebody posts something, says something, and it's just not right. And I need to be careful with what I choose to believe. If God's in control, I choose to believe that. I need to be careful with what I accept into my life. I need to be careful with the information I give out. Because we're all people who want to appear that we know a lot. And so therefore, we want everybody to know what we know. And, you know, if you put me on Facebook and you want to know everything I know, I'll be done in about 30 seconds. Because there's a lot of things in life that appear to be real and valid that aren't. And one of the ways the enemy deals with people is deception. A deception is basically this: 98% truth and 2% lie. And it's wrong. And I just need to guard what I allow into my mind and into my heart as to what I choose to believe. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide us into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He'll tell you what He's heard. He'll tell you about the future. Wow, God's in control. He's going to share with me when I need it. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me. So I need to understand that the Holy Spirit is a part of my life to help me understand truth and not to give in to all the misguided information, the things that are hype, the things that people are saying that just aren't right. I just need to understand that I need to be careful with what I believe. Now, as I say that, I know that there's some people who think they know it all. And I need to be careful when I think I have all truth, because I don't. And I need to be careful with how I say things and what I say. Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he's identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Just let me just tell you, if you're going to post stuff and say stuff, never forget that you represent Jesus Christ. If there's something there that is going to give him a black eye, shouldn't do it. I need to be careful. I need to be careful of how I approach things and say things. I need to be careful what I believe. Because you see, what I believe about things determines how I act towards things. It's kind of like this. If I believe what we went through was just a disaster, then my response is despair. If I believe that it was just unnecessary and it shouldn't have happened, then my response is I get irritated at everything. This should have never happened to me. This is unfair. This isn't right. If I believe it's unfair, then I get angry. If I believe I deserve it, God's judging me, then my response is guilt, isn't it? But if I believe, you know what, this is an opportunity, then I have faith and hope. It's an opportunity for God to be glorified. It's an opportunity for other people who don't know God to see God in us and how we act and what we do and how we respond and to maybe turn their lives over to him. It's an opportunity for us to display the love and compassion of God. It's an opportunity. So I just need to be careful what I say, what I hear, how I treat it, and don't get off the deep end. We good? Okay. Thirdly, it's easy to lose compassion. It's easy to lose compassion. We got our air back on Thursday night, I believe. Boy, has anything been more welcome than that? Notice I said air, not power, just air. We got power back on Thursday night. Friday, I'm going somewhere doing something, and I'm thinking, wow, this is really great. And then the thought hits me, hold it. There's still a whole lot of people who don't have power yet and who won't have it for a long, long time. And you know, it's really easy in these times to, once you get yourself taken care of, to forget about others. It's really easy to forget that there's a lot of people in the world who don't have power ever. It's a little easy that once you get your life back to where it's comfortable, to forget about the needs of people who aren't yet. It's so easy to lose compassion. And you know, as long as I have what I need, the world's great. And I forget about those who don't have as much. I forget about those who have greater needs, and it's easy to lose compassion. And the one thing you find about Jesus is that no matter where he went and what he did, he always looked at people with compassion. And I think that should be a prayer of our life. God, would you help me to view people with compassion? Because you know what? It's easy to get upset with that jerk who pulls in front of you in the gas line. It's easy to get upset where people, and there'll be some, who'll take advantage of the system. But not all people are like that. It's easy to think everybody else is acting wrongly. It's easy to just write them off. It's hard to look at them with compassion. And it's easy to lose that. And you and I just have to remind ourselves, I think on a regular basis, hold it. As a Christian, I need to be a person who cares about others. Even when they mistreat me, even when they do something I think is wrong, even when they're doing things that are counterproductive and hurting themselves, I still need to have compassion. And it's easy to lose that. And I just have to remind myself, you know what? I got air, but there's a lot of people who don't. God, help me to be compassionate. 1 John 3, 16. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. That's a hard deal. But Irma reminded me, it's easy to lose compassion for people. We get wrapped up in our lives. We get wrapped up in what we have. You maybe are going through a really hard time right now, and you don't think about anybody else because you're going through it. Well, okay, I understand that. It's a hard time. But compassion is still needed for others just as it's needed for you. And I just need to remind myself, I need to be compassionate. Not just when the storm is around and not just for the next few weeks, but for all of my life. I need to have that compassion for people. Then I was reminded that I need to be connected to others. Connected to others. First people I need to be connected to is family. My physical family, that's who you care about when you're going through this, don't you? How you doing? Where you at? What's going on? Yeah, I still got some family that's without power. They're living with us. And they're two dogs. Yeah. But it's family. It's what you want to do, right? You care. There's a physical family, but you know what? There's also a spiritual family. You know, the strange thing is in the Bible, Jesus seems to put the spiritual family in a higher priority than the physical family. Because one day his mother and brothers, sisters, they were there. They were asking for him. And they say, hey, they're looking for you. And he says, well, who's my brother and sister? It's all of these. It's great to have family. It's great to have people that you can lean on in these times. It's great to know you're not alone. It's great to know there are people who care. You need each other. We need each other. And these times prove that. And the great thing about family is there's so many good people who are willing to do so much. It's just a great thing. But not only family, friends. You need friends. Neighbors. Our neighbor next door left town. He had a motor home, so he just got his family, and they left and boarded up his house. And he calls and says, hey, look, if you want to stay in my house, it's boarded up because I'm one of those people, my house doesn't get boarded up, okay? I'm sorry. It just doesn't. I like watching it. Okay. So he said you could do that. And I got a generator, and while I'm not there, you can use that and everything. You know, and so we did that, and we got some other neighbors. They're out of town. They called us from the Autobahn in Germany. Hey, how's it going? Can you take care of our house? They had two houses. Yeah, we'll help you there, helping each other. It's great. You need neighbors. And I've had so many people tell me, you know what? My neighbor is usually the most cantankerous person and difficult person in the world to get along with. But as they've been dealing with this, they're one of the nicest people and have helped me more than anybody else. It's amazing how we need each other. We kind of push you to get into groups. Why? Because it's at this time that really matters. That you've got somebody who cares and will take care of you. And family and friends, that connection. We tend to isolate ourselves. We tend to want to be alone. But it's in these times that I'm reminded I need people. I need people who can help me. I need people who can support me. I need people that I can help. Because there's a part of all of us that want to help, isn't there? Want to do something. And so I need family. And finally, I must constantly keep trusting God. I have to constantly keep trusting God. Now, the Bible has a word for this that it comes up often in several verses, and I didn't give you all of them, but it's this word, perseverance. I have to keep going on and keep trusting. Because here's the deal. When the battles of life come, God has an exit plan. You know, it might be that he plans to say, look, in the midst of this, I'll be with you. I'll take care of you. Don't be concerned. I'm here. It might be that he sends someone else to you to be with you in the midst of it all, to remind you you're not alone in this and you're going to make it. It might be that he says, look, we're going to go through this because I want to remind you again of what you want to know. But one day, he will evacuate us out of here. He knows what he's doing. And I just have to keep trusting him with everything. You know, you get to those places in life, well, I guess there's nothing more we can do than to pray. Really? You know, that's the best thing we can do. Trust God. God's in control. I need to deal with me. There's a lot of things going on. God's going to be faithful. I just need to keep being faithful as well. And I just need to keep trusting him. And it'll be worth it. Because sometimes as you trust God, it seems like it's not working out. Sometimes you trust God and it just seems like things are getting worse. Remember, we're still in a battle. Remember, there's still a struggle going on, but God's in control. And if I will keep trusting him, in the end, I will be the beneficiary. Now, there's more verses here that I wanted to print, but I couldn't get rid of them because I think they just apply so well. And I felt like, you know, maybe you're here this morning and you need one of these verses to keep with you this week. So let's just go through them here. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me. My heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. Psalm 37:5, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him. He will help you. Psalm 91:2, this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. Ephesians 3:16, I pray from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, and your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. 1 Peter 4:19, so if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what's right. Trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. In John 16:33, I've told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. We're going to make it. God's faithful. God's going to be good. Just this week, remind yourself of the things that God has already taught you and the things you already know. Don't forget and be reminded. So this morning, we're going to take a moment and just pray. And just ask God to help us, to be with us. Maybe you're here this morning and you're at a place where you've just done this on your own and you haven't really made a commitment to God, and you need to do that now because you need to have some sense of purpose and reason of what you're going through in life right now. Maybe you're a Christian, but you're like me sometimes, and God, remind me. Thank you. Help me not to forget.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.